It is a brand new Village Vice. We have basketball sending out Mantis graphics. We got baseball to talk about. We've got football commitments, past and present. There's a lot happening. Yesterday's Village Vice is the most watched show in over a week and a half. Most watched Village Vice in a week and a half. We had Matt on with us. My thought was we could have Matt just the rest of the week. That plan got squashed. And I probably should just leave it there until Friday. Instead, how about this is no consolation. We're excited to have baseball's Lindsey Crosby join us on Village Vice. Lindsey, how are you? You're not mad at me, right? So everything's okay?
I'm not mad at you. No, I feel bad for those who were coming by expecting to see him again and they get me instead. I'm sorry about that, people. But we'll get to talk some baseball, which is nice.
We will talk baseball. And just in case anybody's worried, everything's fine.
Yeah,
we're fine. We're fine.
It's all fine here. How are you?
Nobody's mad. Everybody's good. Hey, let's talk football first. Two more commitments yesterday. An athlete and a running back. You had Kingston Miles flip his commitment to Missouri. I think the prevailing thought there, Lindsey, is that Auburn just didn't want to get into an NIL bidding war for its second running back in the class. And so instead, they flip Kamani Williams from West Virginia, a guy from Memphis originally, 17th ranked player in the state of Tennessee, 5'11", 205. We'll start there first. Solid addition at running back in a class where they'll take two.
I always love the idea of the track athletes, right? And it's not he's not just a track guy. But when you see a football player who's like, yeah, I'm running track as well, that gives you an idea of the skill set that they're going to be bringing to your team. And, kind of looking at, Caesar, some good splits, the 100, the 200, and you think about how that translates onto the field. I feel like the running back room you have now, and obviously it's going to be different when he gets here, but it's a lot of guys who they're not there for the straight line speed. They're there for the ability to break tackles, the ability to navigate through traffic. And I just like the idea of always having a home run guy back there. I think about the Corey Grant days. You never knew he touched that ball. There was always a chance that thing could end up in the end zone. And I love that. I feel like Kamani Williams gives you that that type of threat out of the backfield, if that's it, if that ends up being where the athlete goes.
Yeah, I love the speedster in a system like this. So let's be clear, this isn't the Gus Malzahn system.
No.
But it is a run-focused, up-tempo team. And tempo and running the ball effectively makes those home run threats even more lethal. You think about an Ontario McCaleb. Mm-hmm. You think about having to account for that speed on a lateral running play from the running back and then a mobile quarterback and a zone read or a decide to give or to keep. And you got to account for that guy. You're out of position one step, or if you lose leverage, he's by you. Yep. He's by you. You've given up a big play, all about out leveraging the opponent. And, he gives you an opportunity to do that. And then another commitment yesterday from Nasir Banks, an athlete out of the same high school, McEachern High School, big time school over in Powder Springs. Auburn has a cornerback, Nash Johnson, from the same high school, and these guys are very, very close. That's another win for Auburn. Banks coming in. We'll see where he plays. A lot of recruiting services have him as a safety. We'll see where he lines up at Auburn. They're recruiting him as an athlete.
Yeah, and I do think there's a little bit of a question about, hey, if he's really close to a guy who's in the class, how much of this is, keeping the guy happy versus thing. But everything that we're seeing, this is a legitimate addition to the room that they want. I like the idea of your defensive backfield, I feel like, has to be on the same page. They have to have great communication. They have to all know what they're, what everybody's doing on a given play.
Yeah.
You bring in guys from the same school who have played together, you can accelerate that time frame. And I like the fact that it's an athlete. You have flexibility as to where you use him. I mean, you could size 6'1", 180. He could be a corner. He could be a free safety. Like there's options there, but he's very, like, he's comfortable playing with a cornerback we took in the class. And I think that an underrated, maybe that's the Atlanta Braves guy in me when I think about how we always talk about the clubhouse chemistry and how that's like a core competency of the Braves.
Yep.
Is how they know each other. They know how they're going to play on the field and all of that. Maybe this is something like that.
I think that's amplified more because you have two schools of thought now when football coaches or GMs and player development guys, when you're putting together a college football roster, right? You could choose to go the portal route and accumulate the Monstars that have never played together.
Yeah.
Right? You could do that. And maybe that works. You could also accumulate another really talented group of guys who like playing with each other and have developed really good locker room chemistry, on-field chemistry, off-field chemistry. I think we talk so much about NIL because it's the big, bold, capital letter. It is a driving factor. And it may be the decision-making factor in a lot of instances. It certainly was 3 years ago. But now you're at that point where it's still not regulated, but it's not completely wild, wild west. It's still mostly wild west, but maybe not completely. Anyway, point is, everybody's spending money to get players. So that's no longer, like, you still have to have relationships. You still have to have chemistry. And I think a lot of times the chemistry affects the buy-in, affects how you practice on Tuesday, which affects how you play on Saturday. All of that stuff is important, which is a really long way around the world, Lindsay, to say, I don't mind a focus on chemistry because I think it can be a deciding force and factor when margins for error are so slim across the conference.
Yeah. And if anything else, when you focus on, we want to get these guys who, one, want to be here, and two, enjoy playing together, there is also a retention aspect to that as well. Yep. When you get into an off season and everybody, because just about everybody has the conversation with somebody like, should I enter the portal? Should I not? You know, should I threaten to enter the portal to get more money? Whatever. Having these guys that one of the big things to them is we're doing this together. We're playing together with each other. Until you hit a tipping point where it's not tenable for multiple of those guys, it's easier to retain one of them if he's considering leaving because all of his friends are staying. It's a fear of missing out, right? Like, hey, it's just you and the boys at Auburn. Do you really want to be the one to break that up? And that shouldn't be the primary consideration, but it's something to think about. It's I like being here. I like being with these guys. I don't want to leave. And so let me just clarify with the coaching staff, what do I have to do to get into the lineup versus, I'm not playing. I'm out of here. Right.
Yeah. Two more guys who could potentially pick Auburn are making their announcements or making their selections today. Plenty of coverage on that throughout the rest of the week. Really fun discussion coming up after we remind you that today's show is presented by AUShirts.com. The gear we talk about here on Village Vice, on other shows on the barn, with a lot of new stuff added all the time. I think we've got those iron hats coming up. Boog hats, Boog shirts, his name is Fred Gaskin shirts. Fred's in on it, by the way. He gets a portion of the revenue, portion of the proceeds from the sales of those over at AUShirts.com. They present every episode of Village Vice. We're 74 days away from kickoff, Lindsay.
74.
Are you team O-line or team D-line? Are you team Rocker or team Gandy? This is really, I think this could, I'm really excited to read the comments on the show today. Who wins one-on-one, Tracy Rocker, Wayne Gandy? Who had the better Auburn career, Tracy Rocker, Wayne Gandy? Who is the ultimate 74? You got Rocker as a defensive lineman, three-time All-SEC selection, third-round pick, 66th overall. Wayne Gandy, all right, starter at tackle for the undefeated 93 team, a one-time All-SEC. He was a consensus first-team All-American in 93.
Okay.
So, offensive tackle, consensus All-American, 15 years in the NFL against Tracy Rocker, three-time SEC champion, three-time All-Conference, like anchor of the best defensive era in modern Auburn football history. Your thoughts? Rocker v. Gandy.
Rocker v. Gandy. Ooh, this is a tough one. Yeah. My initial thought is I'm not going to let myself be colored by the pro careers.
Okay.
Because Rocker only played for two seasons in the pros. Now, if I remember right, I think that was injury. I don't think that was like he just wasn't good. I think a lot of that was injury, right? But if you think back to these guys in college, who they were in college, Gandy to me was an undersized tackle, right?
Okay.
I want to say he was listed in like the mid 260s, like 6'4", 265 or something.
Okay.
And Rocker was a, you know, was.
Now maybe, Lindsay, maybe at the beginning. Now he finished up like around 300.
Yeah. I think Rocker was the same boat, right? He was listed at like 260 when he got here as a freshman. I think he ended up being bigger as well.
290. Yep.
Yeah. But I think about, It's a tackle versus a tackle, right? Mm-hmm. It's an offensive tackle versus a defensive tackle. In college, if you match these guys up, do we want to bet on the power of the D tackle? Because I feel like your offensive tackles are so used to dealing with speed on the outside.
Yeah, right. That's why it's not like it's not a perfect 1v1 because they're not going to face each other in a 1v1.
But if they did.
But if they did, yeah.
If they did. I think I want to give this to Rocker, though, simply because the closer you are to the ball on the line of scrimmage, the easier it is for you to impact the game.
Okay.
And, like, if they have a great offensive tackle over there, guess what? We can work around that. If you have a defensive tackle that's nose up on the center and blowing things up, that ruins the whole game plan.
Well, we've seen that with Derrick Brown and the kind of career he's put together early on at Carolina with nobody helping it. Like, he just got nothing else just around him.
Yeah.
But didn't he set, like, the tackles record for a D tackle last year, the year before? The NFL record for tackles from an interior defensive lineman? No, I'm with you, though. But that offensive tackle
103, spot, yes. That was the 2023 season he set that.
Gosh, has it been that long?
Apparently so.
My gosh.
From what I'm reading, yeah.
So time just keeps speeding up until the end of time. Is that scientific formula that time is accelerating and continues to accelerate? I think that's right. But tackle is one of the high pay positions in the NFL. You got to have that tackle. You got to have the blind side for when you're not going up against Tracy Rocker. You're going up against some edge guy. I don't know. I think it's fascinating. I wonder how many other same number matchups like this you could have that would be just powerhouse.
Yeah.
You know, it's the Hulk versus the Hulk. These are two grown men.
Yeah.
That, you know, my goodness.
Wait, we can't say the word? We can't say the word on here?
We can. I'm just going to choose not to.
Oh, okay. Well,
everybody can fill it in on their own.
Yes.
All right, where are you? You team Rocker or team Gandy? Rocker v. Gandy, both 74s, 74 days away from kickoff.
Give me Rocker. Give me Rocker.
You're going Rocker.
I'm going Rocker because I think an elite defensive tackle can be more disruptive than an elite offensive tackle.
Okay. I think I'm the opposite, and just for the sake of us having different answers, I'll go Wayne Gandy. Gosh, I don't know, though, man. Rocker, they got three SEC titles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Three SEC titles. And the 93 team, though, were national champions. They were champs.
Yeah.
I don't. This is tough. This is too close to call. Give me Gandy by a fingernail, and let us know what you think in the comments.
Baseball. I want to see these comments. Yeah, I want to see these.
Yeah.
Comments.
All right. Baseball season's over now. Does Oklahoma winning the national championship after going 14-16 in the SEC, does that give you any sour feelings about the baseball postseason? That was a quick take I saw last night on social media. Was this shows that there's a problem with the postseason that a team that was 14-16 can go win the whole thing? Any issue with that?
No. There's okay. Baseball in a small sample size. Is yeah. So subject to the random variants of the sport. They've actually tested this in MLB. Like, they've done the studies. And if you want the better team to win, I think, what do they figure out? Like 75% of the time or something? Yeah. Like, if you want the winning percentage of the series to correlate with winning percentages of the two teams in the regular season, it has to be like a 75-game series. Like, if you want the true talent to like guarantee the better team will win,
yeah,
it has to be like a 75-game series. It's just baseball. This is baseball. And so that's like, if anything, actually, I know, if anything, that gives me more validation that Auburn is handling things the right way. As far as their scheduling and their plan, because there's two schools of thought here when it comes to college baseball. And one of them is you focus on winning in conference, right? You pay attention. Your focus is what's win that weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happens in non-con, whatever happens on Tuesdays, we'd like to win. We don't really care. Yeah. We want to win the conference. Auburn's focus is we want to be tested as often as possible by the best teams in the country so that we're prepared for anything when we get to the postseason.
Yeah.
And I think Oklahoma being losing record in conference and regular season and then getting hot in the postseason shows you that you just have to get there. And what Auburn is doing is they're getting there, but they're putting themselves in the best position, giving themselves the most support to win by ensuring they have home field.
Yeah.
And letting Plainsman Park be a potential difference maker.
Yeah.
Now, some people are going to say the opposite. They're going to say, like, Oklahoma show, just get there. Don't worry about the resume. Just get into the dance.
Yeah.
And be willing to go on the road and do all of that. But I like what Auburn's doing because any situation they're thrown at, they've probably seen this before.
Yep.
And they're
for sure,
you know, and it just so happens they got cold.
Yeah.
Right. You know, when Supers came around and got beat by a team that was hotter, but
yeah.
Yeah.
Should it change the way we watch or follow the regular season as fans? Like, should we get less hot and cold about series wins or series losses, single game wins, single game losses, midweek wins or midweek losses? Like, should we continue to backload our emotional investment to the postseason and just kind of understand, like, you're on a very long journey from February to May, and it's like driving from Alabama to Disneyland out in California. Like, let's understand it's going to take a minute to get there.
Don't get mad about one guy cutting you off in traffic because it's a very small part of this long road trip. I've thought that for a long time, right? That the football mentality doesn't accurately translate to baseball. And I've seen, and it's not just Auburn. I see Braves fans doing it now. I've seen, you know, every team, people overreacting to individual games.
Yeah.
Like overreacting, like, hey, this was a terrible loss. You got to make changes. No, it was just a loss.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, it was improbable. You replay that game a bunch of times. It probably doesn't happen that way. Most of them, you know,
right.
You just happen to go against you that time. The bigger picture is what matters.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why I think, again, Auburn's plan of challenge this team, ask them to step up, get information by facing elite competition early so you can figure out who are your best options for conference play. That's why I think it's the right call. But Yeah, I've long thought that the football mentality is the wrong way to approach baseball. You can't live and die on the results of every game when you play 50 something of them.
Yeah, that makes sense. That's reasonable. Like that's reasonable. Okay. Yeah.
In How about you?
Oh, I don't know. I'm sort of in my position. I'm like equally emotionally invested in all of them. Like
true. That's all different for you. Yeah.
They're all game seven of the World Series. You know,
that's a good point. That's a good point.
They kind of all have to be.
You have a different relationship to it, I guess, because you're working, you're performing.
That's right.
You know, by calling a game. And doing it very well, by the way.
Okay. Thank you. In 2 minutes or so, is it safe now to assume, like, you got a week left in the portal? Anybody who was going to leave has made that decision? Are we out of those woods? I mean, do we feel safe in saying that anybody who was going to transfer out has already announced they're going to transfer out?
Most of the time, the only time I think you might be surprised going forward is if you bring in somebody that wasn't expected to be coming in. Okay. And they're taking and a player feels like, hey, that was my position. That was my chance for playing time.
Yeah.
But even then, I mean, for the most part, I think you're good. I think if somebody's not already in the portal now, they're probably not going to be unless you get some surprise commitment. And I know there are schools who try to sandbag those commitments until the portal closes just so that they don't lose a current guy off the roster for that reason. I don't think it's a problem in Auburn, but no, I don't think you're going to see very many other entrants. Especially with the whole thing of like the draft, the guys leaving for the draft, like you don't know for a fact if they're going to get drafted or not and where they're going to go and if they're going to come back or not. And so, I think you're okay.
Coleman Borthwick is the big name people are watching for the Major League Baseball draft, potential incoming freshman, potential first round pick or second round pick. What is the, all right, in the draft, let's just say arbitrarily the number's 5 million. Like, at what point in the draft are you getting 5?
Well, okay, so the hard part here, too, is teams can underslot other guys to take you at a different point. I do think that's worth pointing out. Like, for instance, last year, and I'm going to use Atlanta because that's what I know, the highest paid player in Atlanta's draft was a prep pitcher in the fourth round. The slot value there was, I think it was like $600,000, and he got $3 million because they saved money with other picks to pay him extra.
Gotcha.
But typically, if you don't have if you're not taken in the first couple rounds, you're for the most part like it's because they know you're going to go to college. I think the thing now people forget, it is very, very rare to take a player in the top 10 rounds and them not sign. You know ahead of time from talking to them if they're going to sign or not. So, you know, he's a first round threat. He's one of the top two-way players they consider in the class as a corner infielder and a pitcher with a big arm. He's at the draft combine today, actually. Yep. Like he's performing in Arizona right now.
Okay.
I'm going to be watching to see what he does, but he's probably the biggest. There's a couple guys Auburn has there as far as commits, but I absolutely do feel like he's probably the one. I wouldn't be shocked if he ends up just not making it to campus.
Okay. You're a very busy man. We're going to talk about that on the post show coming up. To access the post show, become a member, sign up. There's different membership tiers. If you're already subscribed to the YouTube channel, the subscribe button becomes a join button, and you can see the different options there. You can join, I think, for $5 a month and get access to the Village Vice post show, the latest recruiting film breakdowns, Afternoon Delight, and a lot of other cool stuff. So
on this post show too, we're going to have scouting reports on Auburn's incoming transfers for baseball.
Oh, I love it. Yes. So we'll do that as well on a very busy post show coming up. In the meantime, Lindsay, tell everybody where they can find everything that you have going on. And it is a lot of stuff.
I'm on social media at Crosby Baseball for the Auburn stuff. It's obviously Village Vice, The Barn, Auburn. For the Atlanta Braves stuff, bravestoday.com and the Braves Today podcast. And then after every single game, including these late night West Coast games right now.
Yeah. Love it.
The Locked On Braves postcast. We go live immediately after the game to break it down.
He is baseball's Lindsey Crosby, and that'll do it for today's show. Please remember, until next time, everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.